Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the Feast of the Holy Family, 2008.
A reading from the book of Genesis. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. I will make your reward very great." But Abram said, "O Lord God, what good will your gifts be if I keep on being childless, and have as my heir the steward of my house, Eliezer?" Abram continued, "See, you have given me no offspring, and so one of my servants will be my heir." Then the word of the Lord came to him, "No, that one shall not be your heir. Your own issue shall be your heir." The Lord took Abram outside and said, "Look up at the sky and count the stars, if you can." "Just so," he added, "shall your descendants be." Abram put his faith in the Lord, who credited it to him as an act of righteousness. The Lord took note of Sarah, as he had said he would. He did for her as he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time that God had stated. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son of whom Sarah bore him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Lord remembers his covenant forever.
The Lord remembers his covenant forever.
Give thanks to the Lord, invoke his name. Make known among the nations his deeds. Sing to him, sing his praise, proclaim all his wondrous deeds.
The Lord remembers his covenant forever.
Glory in his holy name. Rejoice, O hearts that seek the Lord. Look to the Lord in his strength. Constantly seek his face.
The Lord remembers his covenant forever.
You descendants of Abraham, his servants, sons of Jacob, his chosen ones, he, the Lord, is our God. Throughout the earth his judgments prevail.
The Lord remembers his covenant forever.
He remembers forever his covenant, which he made binding for 1,000 generations, which he entered into with Abraham, and by his oath to Isaac.
The Lord remembers his covenant forever. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. He went out, not knowing where he was to go. By faith he received the power to generate, even though he was past the normal age, and Sarah herself was sterile. For he thought that the one who had made the promise was trustworthy. So it was that there came forth from one man, himself as good as dead, descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and countless as the sands on the seashore. By faith Abraham, when put to the test, offered up Isaac, and he who received the promises was ready to offer his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac descendants shall bear your name." He reasoned that God was able to raise even back from the dead, and he received Isaac back as a symbol. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the days were completed for their purification according to the law of Moses, they took him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it was written in the law of the Lord, "Every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord." Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms, blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and glory for your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted, and you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel and tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very same time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hello and welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Brian and I'm here with Dawn.
Hello, everyone.
And we're going to discuss these readings on the Holy Family now that we figured out which readings we're actually going to discuss. It actually seems, for those who aren't in on our little inside joke, there's all kinds of options that churches have for this reading. There's two options for the first reading, there's two different psalms to choose from, three different second readings, and two different gospels. So you might hear completely different readings from what we've selected to record on the podcast today when you go to your church. That doesn't mean that we were wrong, or, well, it might mean that we were wrong, but hopefully it just means that we chose different readings from what the church has given us, but not just arbitrarily selected the wrong readings or clicked on the wrong link or something like that when we went to read the readings this week. But anyway, from the readings that we have selected, that's what we'll talk about, and also maybe talk a little about the Feast of the Holy Family and the importance of families. Dawn, did you have any thoughts to begin with on maybe just the Feast of the Holy Family? And
well, I was just, when you were talking, I was thinking about how hard this can be, this feast day, for some of us, because not everyone has a family life like we typically think of the Holy Family together. Many people come from dysfunctional families or abusive families, and they have this, their image of family is not what's being portrayed today in the Feast of the Holy Family. And so just starting out that and saying that none of us here on earth right now are perfect. And none of our families are perfect, but we strive to always make things better, and to we ourselves are made holy by God's love, and just working towards that all the time, wherever we are.
I think that's a very good starting point for us to begin with, because we are looking at a family that is kind of an ideal family, actually. Mm-hmm. And actually, to be totally honest, we don't know a whole lot about the Holy Family and the daily life of the Holy Family, or what it was like for Jesus growing up. We have ideas and images. But in the same way, throughout all of Scripture, we see family images, we see God being referred to as Father and things like that. And you're right, you point out this fact that not everybody has a positive experience of either family or of, you know, father or any particular member within the family. However, what we have to kind of try to do is step back from that, I think, and not let our own poor experience deprive us from what we should experience. And ultimately, we're all deprived, even people who have the seemingly most perfect family or have a very happy family life still don't have that same perfection that we will have when we have life in heaven with God and that kind of a family life, if you will. So really, what we have is supposed to be a reflection of that, but we live in a fallen world, as you've pointed out, and so sometimes we don't always get that perfect family image, and like you said, we shouldn't let that deter us from our relationship with God or understanding God's love for us as individuals.
Right, and that's exactly my point.
Yes, no, and I think that it's a very important starting point for discussing the Holy Family. The other thing, I mean, I think that the first reading talks a little bit about, you know, how we're all kind of, it gives, I think, a broader view of family as it begins to talk about Abraham and Sarah. And ultimately, this will lead into, if you read the whole Genesis passage, the whole tribe of Israel and the huge family that Abraham ends up having are all the descendants of Abraham. I think that can also serve to remind us that even though we don't have perfect families, that our immediate and our biological families aren't the only family we have, but we do have a religious family, which is the church. And again, that's an institution where, like we say, it's divine and human. It's got certainly divine elements to it, but certainly it's got human imperfections in it as well. And again, it's meant to raise us up in some sense, but there is that element of us being fallen there too.
And we, like we talk about often on this podcast, we show God cares for us, and we care. We show our love for God by one of the ways is by caring for the people in this family that we have, our church family or our human family. And so that's an important thing to remember too.
Right. So I think that ultimately this notion of family, the gospel, or not the gospel, maybe even the first readings, challenge our notion of family is to go beyond just the immediate nuclear family mm-hmm. that we celebrate here in the U.S. And actually other countries tend to go a little beyond that and have larger extended families. But we really need to, like you said, see the whole human race as a family, and also to, you know, see the church as a family and hopefully find proper ways to interact so we don't just have one vision of Father, but we have many. And hopefully if we have one negative one, that we also have some positive ones right, in there as right. well. Same thing with mother, brother, sister, all that kind of thing.
You know, in the gospel today, we have this guy named Simeon. And I know that his prayer shows up in the Liturgy of the Hours. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So maybe we should start by talking about the Liturgy of the Hours and what that is.
Good idea.
It's an interesting thing because it's called the Prayer of the Church, and yet very few people in the church even know it exists, so we haven't done a real good job promoting this. But there are sites where you can go to and find this prayer. One of them is universalis.org. Another one is called, I think it's ebreviary.com
right,
or org.
Yes, yeah.
But if you punch into Google Liturgy of the Hours, you'll find some various sites that have it. There's also the book you can get. And what it is, it's the daily prayers that really the whole church is supposed to pray. Priests and deacons are obligated to pray it every day, and I made a promise at my ordination, as did every priest, to pray the Liturgy of the Hours. And it's composed of five main hours. So similar to the way that Muslims pray throughout the day and mark their day with prayer as Christians, we're to mark that day, and specifically priests and deacons take promises to pray that on behalf of the whole church. So, you know, we kind of pray it for the whole church, so to speak, but it doesn't mean that other people shouldn't pray it or it's reserved only to the priests or deacons or something like that. And it's composed of a morning prayer, midday prayer, evening prayer, night prayer, and then a prayer called Office of the Readings, which can be prayed at any time of day. The other ones obviously are prayed at those times of day, morning, midday, evening, and night. And every day in night prayer, we end with this, well, not end with it, but it contains this canticle of Simeon. So it would be a song called the Nunc Dimittis, and that's the part of the gospel reading that begins with, "Now, Master, may you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled." And so what the Liturgy of the Hours tries to do is it encapsulates our faith in kind of a whole day period. So we have our liturgical cycle of a year that encapsulates our whole faith over the course of a year. But every day we go through this cycle. And so we end with having the Lord's promise come to fulfillment. And that's what the Canticle of Simeon talks about, because he was told that he would see the Messiah, he would see salvation before he died. And ultimately what we recognize is that we've seen that salvation as Christians in that canticle. And so we pray that every single day in a way to remind ourselves that we have seen Christ throughout our life today somehow, hopefully. So it can serve as a reminder for us, as we talk about oftentimes on this podcast, you know, how did we experience God in our life today, or where did we see the work of salvation, where do we see signs of God's presence with us? And I think this canticle does a good job of summarizing that, of reminding us that we have seen God's presence, and now we can, at night prayer, you know, go to bed in peace, or Simeon says, you can let me go in peace.
I was just thinking about what it must have been like for Simeon to recognize what he was seeing and actually probably holding in his hand, that must have been overwhelming.
And I mean, we can see this definitely. You talk about Simeon, but Mary as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right, yes.
Joseph, I mean, the whole Holy Family, right. Just to have God in their presence. But you're right, it must have been an overwhelming feeling there.
All of them, Simeon, Anna, and obviously Joseph and Mary. It's just, and you're exactly right how we should often recognize that we have that exact same, I mean, not the literal, we're not holding a little baby, Jesus, but we have that every day. And so, I don't know, I tend to take for granted so much of what we've been given.
And one of the ways we have it, of course, I mean, we have it in through our own experiences where we can experience God in our lives. But I think the most tangible way we have it is
right.
In the Eucharist.
Yes.
And I think that's a real powerful moment. There's a man who some people have tried to start his cause for canonization. His name's Charles de Foucauld. He's kind of a mystic from France. And he had a saying that when we receive the Eucharist, Christ is as close to us as he was to Mary when he was in her womb. And I always find that real powerful to reflect upon. That because, I mean, you talk about how powerful it must have been for them to see and hold Christ. And yet, we have the ability to do that too. And again, a lot of it comes down to, do we recognize that? You know, here we have the story of Simeon, who upon seeing Christ recognizes who he is. But a lot of times I think, even as Catholics, we can begin to take, you know, the sacraments for granted, our faith for granted, a lot of things in our life for granted. So I think that this canticle, like you say, could also serve to remind us, hey, you know, wake up, this is powerful stuff that you've got going on here, and just don't take it for granted.
Good insight, Brian.
Well, that's just one insight. It's one interpretation there. And obviously there could be many others.
Right.
Did you have anything else that you wanted to add? Because I do see we're coming towards the end of the podcast. But
well, I was just starting to think, this being the Feast of the Holy Family, in the Diocese of Rochester, we're doing the spiritual renewal. And last year, the bishop put out a video retreat. And in it, he talks about one of his favorite prayers that he says every day, multiple times a day after communion, each time he presides at a liturgy. And I just thought I would read it. I found it online and thought that it's just, I really like it. It's Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I give you my heart and soul. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, assist me in my last agony. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, may I breathe forth my soul in peace with you. It's very simple, but he said in this retreat that when he was in, I think, like ninth grade, one of his homeroom sister that was in charge of his homeroom taught him that prayer, taught the class, and every day since then he says it. And it's a nice wrap up for Holy Family.
Yeah, I think it is. It kind of encapsulates that whole desire to be part of that perfect family ultimately, and I think that's what we all strive for. So hopefully we can continue to reflect upon the Holy Family, reflect upon our participation in the human family, and of course, hopefully everyone will join us next week on Your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.